It's so nice to be with you again. God loves this church very much, which is at the end of the island. You know, it's far from Nicosia, far from the other cities, but God never forgets you. He's always with you, and He cares for you. Amen. I would like to make a short prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much this morning, Lord. I thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you for the cross, Lord. I thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for your word, Lord. And we ask you to bless your word this morning, to put your word in our spirit and our hearts, Lord, and make an impact in our lives, Lord. Change us, correct us today, edify us, Lord, and speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The title of my message today, this morning, is Unity in the Spirit. Unity in the Spirit. There are many kinds of unities, but there is one which is called unity in the Spirit. This is how the Word of God calls it, unity in the Spirit. And we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We start with verses 9 to 11. John 17, verses 9 to 11. I pray for them. I do not pray for the word, but for those who have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the word, but these are in the word. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And verses 20 to 23. I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. And they also may be one in us, that the word may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the word may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Praise the Lord. This is the last prayer of Jesus before the throne of the Father as the representative of the believers here on earth. That was his last prayer before he ascended on the cross. And he prays before the throne of his Father as the representative of the believers. He prays for his own people. This is a prayer just for us. He prayed for unity in the Spirit. As the Father and the Son are one, in the same way, His own people to be one. As the Father to be one is a reflection of the relationship of the Father and the Son. And in the verses that we have just read, He prayed four times for us to be one. And the reason that He prayed several times for this, it's because this is one of the deepest desires He has in His heart for us. In verse 20, he prayed also for the people that will follow, that will believe in him. So in other words, he prayed for us today, 2,000 years ahead. He prayed for us today. He didn't pray for the external unity of the church. He didn't pray for superficial human relationships, like what a nice time we have together. We go out together, we eat together. No. This is just friendship. But he prayed for something much, much deeper. He prayed for unity in the Spirit. He prayed for the common characteristics of the spiritual character of the believers. He prayed for unity of mind, for unity of soul, for unity of heart. He prayed for common purpose for those that are committed and dedicated in him and his word. He prayed for unity in the Spirit. And this will make the world to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This will make the world to see that The Father loves us in the same way that He loved His only Son. And also that He cares for us. It might sound unbelievable that the Father God loves us the same way that He loved His Son. But it's real. It's true. And not only they will understand that he loves us the same way, but they will understand that He sent His Son here on earth for us. So unity in the Spirit is extremely important in the Word of God. Because without unity, our testimony, our purpose of leading others into Christ will never be reliable. It will not be fulfilled. Our testimony will not be reliable, and only few people at the end will decide to believe in Him and participate in His church. The verses that we have just read hide a great meaning, importance, and power. I would like to read again verse 23, the last verse. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. It's so important. And unfortunately, you know, divisions and separations are happening throughout the whole world. The enemy fights unity around the whole world. This is a global situation that is happening. Because the enemy hates unity more than anything else. He knows that if he breaks unity, he will keep the people of God far from the purpose that God has for us. I don't like to give any emphasis to the enemy, but it's clear from the word, and we will see it, that he fights unity, and it's clear that he fights unity more than anything else. I'm not also of those people that believe that anything negative happens in our lives because of Him, but most of the times happen because of our own mistakes. But nonetheless, He's the one that by nature fights unity. The root of His name in Greek is diabolos. The root of His name comes from the verb diavallo. In English is distort, which means to mislead and divides people. In other words, He separates and seduces people. Am I right with my English? Okay. He said, why He does this? Because He hates the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He hates unity. And we know that triune is the ultimate example of unity. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. And what does He say? He says, you are known for unity. I will be known for disunity. He does exactly the opposite of what God does. And there are many examples in the Bible of disunity. From the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve were separated. Cain and Abel were separated. Jacob and Esau. Joseph was separated from his brothers. And this disunity continues until today worldwide. There is also another reason why He does this. Mark 3:24 says that a house that is divided cannot stand, and a kingdom that is divided cannot stand. In other words, a kingdom, a house, a church, a family, or two persons are divided, then that means that they cannot live together. And being together is always based on eternal cooperation and never in competition. His greatest will is to divide the family of God, the family, the house of God, because He knows that if the house of God stands, he will be put in shame. He knows that if the house of God stands, God will be glorified, He will be put in shame, and He tries with every way to divide the family of God. And it is obvious from Jesus' prayer, from this last prayer of Jesus that Jesus made, that it's not enough just to love God. It's not enough. Our love to the Father is fulfilled when we come to the point to love those that God loves. not just to love the people that loves us, but to love those that God loves. And God loves all the people. He loves even the most difficult people. He loves the pastors. He loves the elders. He loves the deacons. He loves the ministers, all his workers. He cares for them. He's always next to them to support them, to help them, and to encourage them. If people responding with the same way and didn't abandon their leaders with the first mistakes they make, I believe we cannot imagine which level the work of God would reach. God is grieved when he sees divisions, because divisions are never from him, but they are always come from the enemy of our soul. The main reason that the first church in the book of Acts exploded was unity. And let's all think about it. The continuous prayer of the disciples in the upper room for 10 days. The fact that they became all one soul. The unity of their soul. The fact that they sold their belongings and they distributed it to everybody, and they didn't keep it for themselves, were the main reasons of spiritual explosion. It was unity. They were drawing strength from each other, courage from the example of each other, motivated by each other, helping, supporting, and encouraging each other. As a result of fear that fell upon the church, signs and wonders, the Bible says, started among them through the laying of hands of the apostles upon them. Things started happening. Miraculous things started happening. Signs, wonders, healings, freedoms, salvations. And when did this happen? When great fear fell upon the whole church. When people realized that they had to do with the Holy God. So it was the fear of God that brought the signs. And this happened after they became all one. Amen?
Amen.
The more Jesus becomes the center of our life, the more unity is built. The more we want to do our own things, the more disunity and separation comes. And when unity breaks, the emphasis that we give in ourselves becomes more important than for the whole, than for people that are getting lost and going to hell. The foundation of our unity, brothers and sisters, is only Jesus Christ and not our flesh. The foundation of our unity is love and forgiveness and not our ego. It's not necessary as believers to believe, to agree in everything. But it's necessary to agree in the most important person which is in our life, which is Jesus Christ. It's not necessary to have the same opinion about everything. But it's necessary to honor him and remain faithful in his word. Praise the Lord. As believers, I believe it's important to have the revelation of humility that Jesus had. In Matthew 18:4 says that the meek will inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus was humble, and he gave us many examples of humility to follow. Why, for example, he told us to consider the others higher than ourselves? Why God himself, the Lord of Lords, came on earth. He took the form of a servant and born in a humble manger. Why the King of Kings, instead of being born in a 5-star hotel, he was born in a stable surrounded by animals that they were extremely stink? Why he showed us how to behave to each other when he washed the feet of his disciples? Humility cannot be forced to anyone. It's not a show-off, but it's a choice which is developed into a lifestyle if we ask the nature and the character of Jesus Christ to be formed in us. The more Jesus Christ is formed in us, the humbler we become. Therefore, it's an outcome of our relationship with him and of course, not a show off. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The anointing and the blessing that came upon the disciples in the upper room couldn't have come in just one or two persons, but it came to everybody because they became all one, the Bible says. Throughout that unity, God touched multitudes. He raised up whole cities. He filled with life and power the disciples to go out and spread the good news until the ends of the world. Therefore, the results of unity are beneficial, not just for us, but mainly for the work of God, for the salvation of souls, and for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Praise the Lord. Some people think, I heard this many times, some people think that first comes the power of God and then unity. No, it is exactly the opposite. First comes unity and then the power of God. In Acts 1:14 says that they became all one soul. They became all together one soul. In 2:1 says that they were waiting, they became one heart and one soul, waiting at the same place. So they became one heart and one soul, fully united before Pentecost. If they were not becoming one heart and one soul before Pentecost, then there will not be any outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that brought unity, but unity that brought the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. First comes unity in the Spirit, and next the signs follow. But there is also human unity. And in the Bible, there are many examples of human unity. And when there is human unity, the final result, there will be always division. And we have divisions in group of peoples when they appear three things: ambition, pride, and disobedience. When these things appear, or any of these things, then we always have divisions: pride, ambition, and disobedience. So we have also human unity that is pursued with wrong motives. This unity will not stand. The results of this unity, sooner or later, will be shown. A time will come that this unity will crumble and fall apart. And as I said before, there are several examples of human unity in the Bible. And one very good example for me, it's in Genesis chapter 11, the first 9 verses, with Babel Tower. We know that when God created the world in the beginning, He just gave one order, one commandment to people. He said, multiply and fill the earth. It was the only thing that He said to people. And what people did? They gathered together at a specific place, and that was clearly a human unity. And listen what they said. Let's go in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. We'll just read this verse. Instead of obeying God's commandment, they gathered together, and listen what they said. 11:4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. What was their motive? They said, let us make for ourselves a name. That was their policy, to build a high tower to make a name, in other words, to become well known, so everybody will remember us, to become famous. That was a motive, it was a policy of ambition and pride. And the second thing they said, let's not scatter on earth. What God said? Fill the earth. They did exactly the opposite. That was disobedience. They did exactly what God said, exactly the opposite of what God said. And when God said wrong motives, What did he do? When he said these wrong motives, he gave them different languages. And from this point starts the phenomenon of various languages that exist in the world. He scattered them upon the face of the whole earth, and he destroyed the tower. The place was called Babel, which means confusion. It's an Aramaic word. So when there is human unity, at the end we will have confusion, and every unity will be destroyed. Babel is the inevitable example of any human effort that leaves God out of the scene, and it's not according to his will. In the New Testament, the day of Pentecost, we had exactly the opposite. When they became united in the Spirit, God gave them again different languages, but this time the languages were not human, but heavenly languages that describe the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. To exactly different examples. When we have human unity, the result will be confusion and destruction. Destruction. But when we have unity in the Spirit, the result will be signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Unity brings answers in our lives. Matthew 18:19 says, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So when two people agree the same thing, then God brings answers to their lives. No matter how good intentions one might have, God gives answers to our lives when two of us agree in the same thing. Unity strengthens us. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. There are many examples about many verses about unity. But it says here that two will have much greater result than one person. And woe if one falls down and no one is there to help him, to support him, to encourage him, to pray for him, to remind him the blessings of God, the blessings that he had in his life, to remind him the promises of God through his word. It's important for all of us to have somebody next to us. So the enemy hates when we come all together, united in the Spirit, and work for him. Unity brings answers to our lives. It makes our lives more effective. It strengthens us. It helps us. It helps our lives. And I would like to ask you something. How many times you felt the need to call a brother or a sister and speak to him in times of need? How many times you felt the need to communicate with someone and ask him to pray for you on the phone? I believe many times. We all had experience of this. Therefore, listen to this. To be alone is the easiest way to be attacked. But unity is the wisest way to attack. I will say this again. To be alone is the easiest way to be attacked. But unity is the wisest way to attack. Why? Because unity helps us in times of need. When we have difficulties. When we are struggling. When we are going through difficult times. Unity in the Spirit makes our lives more effective. And there is someone that he doesn't want us to see our lives, to see that God blesses us. This is the reason that he fights unity so much. He doesn't want to see God to bless us. The blessing that he has appointed for us, it says in Psalms, that he has commanded for us. Do you think that he wants us to see us to be blessed? No way. This is the reason that he fights unity so much. And I would like to finish with my last verse. Ephesians 4:3. It's very important. Endeavor with zeal to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor with zeal to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Not any unity, but the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To preserve, the verse says. To preserve means to maintain. Am I right? To keep it. That means that it implies that unity is there, it exists, but it needs dedication. It needs work. It needs commitment. Do you understand my English?
Yes.
Okay. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Makes sense. Okay. So, it endeavor with zeal to preserve, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the Holy Spirit made us one body as we believed in God, as we became united with God. He made us one body. And this body is indwelt only by one Spirit. It is a unity that nobody can shake or destroy it. And the maintenance of unity that the Spirit gives, as the Bible says, that the Spirit gives, not anybody, but the Spirit gives, means that the members in the body dwell with each other in peace. Peace is the bond it's the bond that brings all the members together despite any doctrinal differences they might have. And I would like to finish with this sentence. Unity in the Spirit is built and preserved as we care for each other, as we show affection for each other, by appreciating each other, by helping, encouraging, and pushing each other, and by overcoming the weaknesses and the mistakes of each other, always, 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 let's all say always.
Always.
Always with the love of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May God bless you. You are laughing. I'm not sure if you received anything out of this message. May God bless you. Put this message in your spirit and your heart. And I always remember you with my wife, and we pray for you, for this church to grow more and more, for newcomers to come in this church. You know, God never forgets you. You might be in this side of the island at the very end, but God cares for you and loves you. All of you. He cares personally for all of you. May God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.